Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hello everyone, good afternoon, welcome to Red Men News. I am Ross Chanley, joined once again by Lauren Black. Lauren, how are we?
I'm not too bad, how are you?
I'm alright, I'm staying alert, saying something vague, something that doesn't make sense, something that's not very clarified. So I'm going to go with Scotland, Northern Ireland and Wales and just continue with lockdown and keep myself safe. So I find that's the best policy. Lots of news to get through today, some of which is the Premier League continuing, some transfer news, obviously some Timo Werner chat, otherwise it wouldn't be a Red Men News after all. So if you've got any questions, comments, get them in. Tom will collect them. We'll try and get through as many as we can. But first of all, Lauren, I did joke about it, but the Premier League will get Boris Johnson's green light for Project Restart today, with professional sport allowed to return next month. The Premier League will hold a key meeting, which is going on today. I'm not sure when it's supposed to end, but any announcements or any results, they'll be on the Red Men socials as and when that happens. Prime Minister Boris Johnson is set to allow the return of professional sports, despite one-on-one family members could only do it for the next month. I don't know. A number of relegation threatened clubs are opposed to the current plans. Brighton revealed a third player tested positive, which we'll come on to in a second. But this is from the Telegraph. Lauren, they're kind of saying that another meeting today. They need like a 70% vote basically to say whether the season continues or not. And there's loads of discussion points of like some clubs are fine with it. And I think it said 6 to 8 clubs are opposed to it because of the neutral venue stuff and stuff like that. So it's where are you at with it? Are you, because I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like I'm fine with it, like neutral venues, whatever, which I understand some people aren't, but I just don't see the rush for it to come back. Like obviously for my job's sake and mental health, I want it back, but I still don't see the need to put a date on it. June the 12th is the rumoured date anyway.
Yeah, I agree. There's no rush for it really. Obviously there's like no major tournaments in the summer now, so you've got those couple of months to sort of get through it all as well. The whole neutral venue thing again, I'm not too fussed about that either. If they want to bring football back in June, and it's just a case of getting the season done and dusted within like 2 or 3 weeks, so that you don't have the whole thing hanging over you, then just do that at neutral venues, get it sorted, and then everyone can sort of take a breather on it all and just forget about it type of thing, because it just seems to be every single day you're checking like Twitter, like Instagram, whatever, looking for any kind of update on it. And it's getting to the point now where it's just getting like a bit tiring, because there's not
speculation, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no other news going on. So I think the meeting today, hopefully they give us some more new information this afternoon, and we can sort of get our heads around the fact that it could potentially start the 12th of June, or it might not be till July or August, or it might not be, you know, this year. Like, who knows at this point?
Yeah, it's still a bit like with the speculation stuff as well. Like, I've seen like murmurs. I tried to stay off Twitter the weekend because I was off, but like fans of other clubs, sorry, just going like, just scrap it, just avoid it because of the Brighton stuff. And like, I still don't know what difference that makes if like virus doesn't disappear, does it? Like, and it's still going to affect next season, whatever happens.
Yeah, that's it. Like, that's what me and my dad were talking about last night. My dad said to me, no matter whether football goes ahead or not, the virus isn't just going to go away like that. Like, it's not dependent on football. So he was like, and I agree with him, I just don't understand the whole, you know, urgency about it. Like, just do it when the time's right and get it done properly if you can. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and the other argument, Lauren, is with the meeting, it was like the clubs that are opposed to it restarting happen to be clubs that are in, you know, the bottom six to eight spaces, and then, you know, they didn't want it to restart, and then I think it was mooted if you take relegation off the table, then they were kind of all right with it. Is there, do you get a sense of it's like point scoring people to, some people might be taking advantage of the situation and going, well, we can use this to our advantage and go, well, if you take relegation off the table, that saves us X, Y, and Z. But there's also, they've also got the argument of maybe they wouldn't have home advantage, for example. So I think they've all roughly got the same amount of home games left, which obviously, like, with or without fans, makes a huge difference. You know, we didn't know that as Liverpool fans, the power of what fans can have. Yeah. I don't think it's any different for any other club, to be honest with you. So I understand that argument, but everybody's in the same boat, fighting for Europe or relegation.
Well, yeah, that's it. Like, the majority of the clubs you are saying to avoid the season are the ones at the bottom, but there will be... Well, I take Sheffield United as an example. You know, they could potentially get European football next season. So it's why would they turn around and go and they'll avoid the season now just for those three at the bottom to stay up? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's football at the end of the day. There's going to be a team who wins it. There's going to be the top four who gets in the Champions League. There's going to be those who get in the Europa League. And there will be, unfortunately, three teams who get relegated. That's just what happens every season. So why is it now that there's a virus and football's stopped for a little bit that it's like, oh no, relegation's off the table? Because if you take relegation off the table, you take Champions League off the table, you take Europa League off the table, you take a Premier League champion off the table. If you get rid of one thing, clubs will say, well, you get rid of it all then.
Yeah, and UEFA have said, like, they're not accepting null and void. So, yeah. They'd want to do it, but I know I've used this argument before, and I also said it the other week, Liverpool are going to be the only English team in Europe, so if you want to do that, then you don't need to say it's fine by me. We'll move on slightly. This is from the BBC. They were talking about Project Restart, but they also said a third unnamed Brighton player has tested positive for COVID. Now, this was kind of mixed messages, because I think it said the reports over the weekend were three Brighton players tested positive, two were from before lockdown, and this has been another one. But the privately conducted coronavirus tests are reckoned to cost between £150 and £180. So Premier League footballers, players are having them consistently a couple of times a week so they can, you know, monitor the progress. And I believe the player, like, hadn't been out anywhere, hadn't done anything. He'd had a couple of tests already, which are all back negative. Then he had another one. Oh, no, but that was a Dresden player, sorry. They're monitoring the players. They're making sure that they're safe and well. And again, obviously, you know, Twitter isn't the best place for, you know, reasonable people, but the suggestion was, isn't it a little convenient, you know, that Brighton are one of these clubs that don't want to continue, but they were fined for it when relegation was taken off the table, that one of their players is, you know, it's happened to one of them. And sorry, I refer to Dynamo Dresden, which is the Bundesliga club that it happened to. They're pretty much in the same situation. And that player said, you know, I was tested loads, came back negative. I got one and it was positive, but I've not been anywhere. So either it shows you can catch the virus anywhere. I'm not being ignorant to that. But, I mean, it's a bit like, come on, lads, this is a bit convenient, isn't it?
Yeah, you can look at it that way because, you know, the timing of it all is, you know, quite perfect for them considering what's going on. But I think if it did come out that, like, they are sort of twisting it a little bit, then that's just, like, that would just be terrible. On the you know, they haven't named a player, so it's not like it's this certain person. But, like, if clubs are coming out and saying, oh, yeah, we've had three positive tests and you actually haven't recently, whether it was from weeks ago or you haven't at all, like, I think it would be terrible for them to do that. But also, on the other hand, you know, it is possible to catch this virus, you know, at any time, and footballers are just a human, do you know what I mean? They're just normal people, so they are, like, they're at risk of it as well. So who knows? Obviously, there's the whole week, like, the whole 2 week turnaround of things. You know, the player can self-isolate for 2 weeks now, and obviously the season's not starting this weekend. It's still a little bit further down the line as what, like, the proposed date is. So, you know, that can be an argument towards, you know, the clubs who are saying,
when the football starts and it happens, then you've got a case, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly. So if it was the weekend of football starting and they came out and said, we've got three players who have tested positive, then you've sort of got to think, oh, okay, like, maybe it isn't right for that team to play this weekend or whatever. But you've still got pretty much 4 or 5 weeks before it begins again. So there's time for that player to, you know, recuperate and stuff like that.
And teams can learn, probably, can't they, of, like, you know, what to do, what the protocol is, you know, and, you know, pass it on around other clubs. So, you know, if it is true, of course, it is responsibility. It might be, wish the player a speedy recovery and all the best health. And I said before, it wouldn't be a revenue show without some Timo Werner news. Red Bull Leipzig CEO Ralf Rangnick has been talking about the player. He's kind of, it's a bit of a weird interview, to be honest with you. So he's spoken to a publication, Bild. We aren't the best source. But he said, from a purely hypothetical point of view, I'd rather see him in good hands with a club that is not necessarily defined by possession football. Timo has made good progress under Nagelsmann, but his most important weapons are the quick switchover movement and powerful finish. Therefore, he would rather fit a club like Liverpool, which is similar to our style of play, but I would prefer him to stay here. The reason I'm saying it's a bit strange, Lauren, because he's just... To a name a club, to say, you know, be so open about the discussion, that's not like a CEO or an owner or, you know, someone who's involved in football or even a manager to say something like that. You know, he's basically just name dropped Liverpool, says that Timo Werner will fit in well, and then just caveated it, well, I'd like him to stay, which is pretty much what Timo Werner's done, hasn't he? He's just covered all bases and going, well, I haven't said I want to get rid of him. I'd like him to stay, but if Liverpool were interested, he'd suit them.
Yeah, that's it. And it's that, like you said, it's weird for like anyone involved in a club to be so open about, like, basically their star player, or if he was to leave, we'd like him to go there.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So that's a bit bizarre. But then you've sort of got to look at it like, he's not interested in keeping the player on for another season in order to get another 50 million in the bank. He's like, well, if it's time for him to go and time for him to boost his career, then, you know.
I mean, they're owned by Rebel, to be fair. They're not desperate for money, are they?
That's true. Yeah, exactly. So, like. But it shows that, like, he's saying, well, you know, if the player wants to leave and that club's a better fit for him, then he hasn't said, oh, you can go, but he's sort of saying, well, you know, you've got two options there. So
maybe he's actually quite compassionate. Maybe we're looking at it in the wrong way. And maybe he's been open and saying, like, listen, if our player wants to go to Liverpool, I'm not going to stop him. Maybe that's why it's strange, because they're normally dicks about it, aren't they?
That's it, yeah. You'll never get a manager or like a CEO or owner coming out and going, well, we really like this player, but, you know, if he wants to leave, you can go. Like, they're not going to do that, are they?
No, just would never happen. Let us know your thoughts on Timo Werner in those comments. We'll get to them at the end. Virgil van Dijk has done an interview speaking about his time at Liverpool. As with a lot of people, this time of very little football has been a time for reflection. That's exactly what he's been doing. He's talking about going to Celtic and joining Liverpool. He said, I went to Celtic, I didn't realise how big they were at the time, but I had a feeling before I joined Liverpool how big Liverpool really were. You see all their games, I played there 2 times before I joined them. Over the course of time before I signed, I met so many people, Liverpool fans, that would say, I hope you sign for us. It was special when things got finalised. You start playing, my debut against Everton was something I will never forget. And either week, because, you know, you won it by the winner. How things went in the end, starting in the winter, reaching the Champions League final, the disappointment of losing it, but then winning it the year after, coming very close to winning the Premier League. And obviously now we are in a very fortunate position to hopefully get over the line when things start moving again. I think it's just quite nice to read, actually, that, isn't it, Lauren, of kind of someone who's I don't know, we don't get to see what happens beforehand and all the transfer stuff. And obviously, with what happened at the time of, you know, Liverpool getting a bit of a telling off from Southampton and all that stuff. But the fact that, you know, we know he loves the club, but even beforehand, just like having one eye on Liverpool and going, actually, well, I appreciate how big they are. You know, Liverpool have got the pulling power, which you spoke about before. He doesn't touch on Klopp in that sense, but, you know, Liverpool fans are doing some of the work as well by going up thinking, well, actually, mate, do you want to sign for us? And it probably works, doesn't it, a little bit?
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, I think, you know, any time a player says, oh, as soon as Liverpool were interested in me, you know, I wanted to go, or I kept tabs on them until, like, the transfer window opened or whatever, is always nice to hear. And it's nice that he's saying it now, that, like, obviously we two Champions League finals, 1-1, second in the Ballon d'Or, like, PFA Player of the Year, like, potentially Premier League champion. Like, he's not just here just for... He obviously wants to win stuff in his career, but he's not just seeing Liverpool as a stepping stone, as to get trophies and then go on.
He needs to achieve stuff, and he's doing that, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he hasn't made any comments about, like, oh, you know, who knows what the future, like, I could be somewhere else. Like, he's so committed to Liverpool at this moment, and he sees his future at Liverpool, and that's what, you know, every fan wants to hear, especially from a player of Van Dijk's calibre, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he was doing an interview for Sky Sports with Jay Redknapp this morning, so that's on Twitter somewhere, so if you get a chance, go and check that out. He covers a number of subjects. Lyon president Jean-Michel Aulas, a guy we all know very well from the Fekir stuff, a name I've not heard for a while. Hang on a minute, this is playing silly baggers. Right. Has admitted that he could struggle to keep hold of the likes of Hassim Aouar after his side was denied a chance to fight for European football next season. A midfielder, very creative, someone that Dave Maddock, who came on the Red Men months and months ago, admitted that Liverpool were interested in. There's a report from side L'Equipe claiming Aouar's side to put Aouar up for sale in the first move to help his side overcome the current financial uncertainties. Obviously, you know, we talk about the uncertainties for Premier League teams and down the pecking order in England, but, you know, it's affecting clubs everywhere across the world at the moment, Lauren, but also the fact that I think because of the way the season was determined in France, it meant that Lyon have missed out of Champions League football, which doesn't obviously just come with the financial difficulties. It comes with what he's talking about and kind of saying, you know, there's players that I've got in my team that are destined to play Champions League football. They want to play it. You know, if you're a player at that club and, you know, you've worked hard for it and the season's ended and you haven't got that reward or potential reward that you could have had, I don't really blame the players for having the heads turn. And, you know, for the financial side, if they've got a player who's a hot, you know, really good talent like Aouar, it's like make the most of it and then trying to cover the deficit that you've made financially.
Yeah, that's it. Like every player wants European football. Now, I'm sure if for any what reason we didn't get Champions League football, there would be a few of our players who think, no, I do want to play European football every season. But it's harsh. It's going to be very harsh for clubs over the next couple of months because, you know, a lot of them are going to come in financial difficulty. Obviously, there's been no football since March. Like, a lot of clubs do make a lot of their revenue on match days. I don't know what, like, Lyon's situation is. I know they're a good club and they obviously had Champions League last season, stuff like that. But, to, you know, they've finished seventh in this season's league. So, No European football is obviously going to be a massive hit for them because they would have relied on, you know, that money for reaching the Champions League to you know, do certain things. But they'll now...
They've got an excellent women's team as well, haven't they?
What, sorry?
They've got an excellent women's team as well.
Yeah, the women's team's really good. Like, they've won the Champions League the last, like, 3 or 4 years on the bounce. So, like, they're really good. They're like, a really good club, Lyon, but, you know... If no European football, nothing like that, they are going to have to look at certain players and think, well, if I can get 40 mil for you, you're going to, like, that's just...
About survival at this point for a lot of teams,
exactly.
Isn't it?
It's not it's about the players, it's about the clubs.
Yeah. Some of your comments then. John Cable says, no one is going to be happy with whatever they come up with, but better to get the season finished than not, in my opinion, however they do it. That's a good point, actually, because... Like, there'll be something that someone's not happy with along the line. And, you know, everyone's got, you know, the preference of, like, you know, having fans in the stadium or playing at home or whatever else. Like, obviously, you know, we'd love to be back at Anfield or, like, to watch Liverpool at Anfield, whether it's the fans or not. I think Liverpool Anfield's one of the stadiums that isn't named on that list of neutral venues. But at this point, I'm like, football, when it comes back, isn't going to be the same for a long time anyway. So just, you know, just deal with it at that point.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it's going to be until next year that everything's sort of back to normal again. obviously we'd love nothing more than to be at Anfield witnessing a game, but you know, if it, the safest option is to do it behind closed doors, then you know that's what has to be done.
Yeah, did you watch any of the K-League the other day?
No, I've seen a lot of people doing it. Like,
I watched about 4 minutes of it, but like they played noise in the background and like they had the camera angle so you couldn't really see the fans. So like watching on the telly, like it wasn't that bad. So for all 4 minutes that I saw, and I turned it off, and there was a VAR decision. It was fucking fuming. Stephen Record says, what about we start the season in October, play it out till December, and then we have Christmas off. Then next season we play half the season rather than the full 38. I mean, potential to do that probably, but then is AFCON supposed to be in January? Then is the World Cup? I don't know what year it is anymore. I don't know what's going on. But then a team's going to be happy with half a season. I don't know. Because you haven't got, no one's going to be happy. On Werner, Luke Galli, LSE, says, I think we need someone like Werner because he'll lose both Salah and Mane due to the African Cup of Nations, which you just mentioned. Josh Owen says, I'm so looking forward to the Bundesliga this weekend. So are we. I think we're potentially going to do a show on it this week and then possibly do a hot mic so we can watch it live with us with some alternative commentary. But Lauren, have you picked your team? It's an important question.
Well, me and my dad had a conversation about this the other day, and he just said it's going to have to be Dortmund, isn't it? Like, I think a majority of Liverpool fans will be sitting down watching Dortmund. Are they the first game as well?
Yeah, Saturday afternoon.
Saturday afternoon, so that's our weekend sorted.
Yeah, same here. I picked Dortmund as well. Klopp will be very annoyed if he didn't. He's 21, solid player, hard worker, versatile, exactly what Klopp wants. Billy Ellis says he's got potential to be in the team for years. T. Subby says, we're defo taking, but not essential for the window coming up. And Megasting 1981 says, I'd sign him. I agree with all that. You know, he fits the profile of a Liverpool player, what FSG want. Tom's laughing his head off in the background there. You know, he's young, he's versatile, he'd probably be, you know, a lot cheaper. But again, you have Liverpool in the same situation you were talking about as Leon, you know, losing out on, you know, millions of pounds week in, week out. I know they'll still get the TV revenue, they'll get money for winning the Premier League and all that stuff. But, you know, can you afford to go spend 40, 50 million pounds on someone?
Yeah.
Or do you take the hit and go, well, he's available now?
That's it. Like, if Leon do really need to offload him now, and you know you can get him at like a decent price, then why not? But then also, if he isn't crucial, why break the bank sort of to try and get him? But then I can't remember the commenter's name, but the whole thing of like the African Cup of Nations, if that does go ahead and you don't get someone like Werner, but he's available for like a decent price, then you know you've got a good attacking minded midfielder there who you can sort of put on to replace one of them too. So there's two different ways to look about it.
Yeah, just play Harvey Elliott. I think it'll be fine. He can do the job. We're going to wrap it up there. Don't forget, at 4 o'clock today on the main Redmen YouTube channel, Chris and Paul are back with episode 3, 4? I don't know. 4, 5? Football, I don't know. Football Manager's back later on anyway. Chris got off to a great start. I think he won the Super Cup. He won the Community Plate and he won his first game of the season. So that carries on. I'm going to be live doing that. Do watch it because it's very, very funny. Lauren, thank you very much. Thank you to watching or listening. Don't forget to stay safe. Go to work. Don't go to work. Be alert. Something. Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.